Welcome to Explain the Prophetic, where each week I give you a prophetic perspective, and we sometimes have interviews, and we're looking together for how hearing God's voice can change not only our lives, but the world around us. You can hear God, and as you build that connection, your whole life will change. Remember to follow me at social media, at Sean Bowles, or subscribe to this podcast. Oh my gosh, waiting on the Lord and not losing your mind in the process. Hey friends, welcome back to Explain the Prophetic, and I'm Sean Bowles. If you haven't subscribed yet, take a second and hit that button wherever you're listening. We've got a great conversation like this every week, and I don't want you to miss them. And we are going through prophetic themes and helping you to understand and break down what God's doing so that you can apply your faith. And today we're talking about something every person of faith, especially those who follow the voice of God, go through at some point, probably more than once, waiting, the issue of waiting, waiting for breakthrough, waiting for the healing, waiting for the opportunity, the finances, the spouse, the job, the clarity, waiting on God. You know, when you're waiting on God to show up, we have to be real. It's like he always feels a little late, just a little late or a little out of our time frame. Patience is not a virtue most of us have. And have you ever been in that space where you're like, God, I know you're good, but also where are you? Where are you? That's what we're going to talk about today, waiting on the Lord and not losing your mind in the process. So listen, I know what it's like to have promises you're carrying, because I'm carrying many promises, and even promises that other people have confirmed, maybe prophetically or maybe spoken into your life, a teacher, a pastor, a coach. And then it's like you went from glory and you're supposed to go to another glory, but there's this two that's in between from glory to glory. And this two feels like it's breaking something inside of you, because I know many of you can relate to that. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you're there right now. You're doing the best you can. You're being faithful. You're praying. And still, the finances haven't shifted, or you're still single. You're still walking through the same physical health journey battle. You're still stuck in the same job that's not life-giving right now. And everyone else around you seems to be fine. Everyone else around you is getting their answers. They're getting things faster than you, especially when you see unsafe friends or people who don't know Jesus. They're getting things quick. And if that's you, today is for you, because waiting is not punishment. You need to hear that. It's not punishment. And it isn't delay in the way that we think about delay. It's preparation, it's pruning, it's formation, and it's hard. I want to just tell you a story about, you know, for in my life, years ago, I really set my 20s apart for the Lord, just be single. I felt like I wasn't supposed to be married in my 20s, so I didn't date at all in my entire 20s. That's really hard for young people. Most young people get married in their 20s. And I just felt like I was going to spend time with Jesus and do my career, do my ministry. And I got to do both. I got to do a little bit of mainstream kind of career stuff with the video game industry and entertainment. And then I got to do a lot of ministry. And I've traveled around the world in amazing ways to see things happen in missions and in conferences and in schools and all these kinds of places, because I was available. But I was really wanting to be married. That was one of the main things I asked God for as a wife. And I had kind of my list of, you know, what it was going to be like. And I remember when I turned 30, I was like, okay, it's on. Like, I gave up my 20s. I set myself apart. It was kind of like a fast. And now I'm 30. I'm going to start dating. I dated a couple of girls right off the bat that some Christian friends had set me up with. And then two that I just thought were interesting. And immediately it was not good. Like, it was not healthy. Like, I was not finding the right person right away. And it wasn't that they were bad or I was bad or that we're doing it bad. It was just not the right relationship. So you can relate to that. And whatever it is, like, you're waiting and all of a sudden you feel freedom to move forward, but there's no one to move forward with, or there's no opportunity, or there's no finances, or there's not the right person. So here I'm feeling ready. So then I just start working on myself. Like, okay, what do I want to be as a husband? What do I want to be as a father? So I start working on that. But all along, just looking, kind of scanning, going, okay, I was pastoring at the time, single pastor, of a senior pastor too. So I couldn't date someone from my church, because it'd be a little too weird to start dating several people in my church. So I just kind of like scanned, and I was open. A couple of friends wanted to set me up with people, and it just was terrible. And I remember, you know, 31 goes by, 32 goes by, 33 goes by, 34 goes by, 35. I started to feel really lonely and going, God, I know you can do a lot in my later life, you know, after I'm 40 and 50, but I want to have kids. Like, I want to be married. And I remember just going, God, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting for the person you would help me to pick. I'm waiting for the person that you're preparing for me, that you're preparing me for. And this is really hard. Like, my friends just make good choices, and I feel like you've set me apart to look for good choices, but I'm not finding good choices, and I'm not finding, if there is a one, I'm not finding the one. So I just prayed and prayed and prayed. Now, I had met the one I'm married to now. I'd met her, and I always thought of her, and I thought, man, she'd be amazing, but she lived far away. Well, she ended up moving in with my closest friends when she moved to LA, and they, you know, called me and told me she was moving in, and so I ended up pursuing her. And we went two rounds. So the first round we dated for a few months, and then we broke up for a couple of years, and then we dated again. So I was 37 by the time I got married. Now, some of you are well over 37. You're not married, or you've been married before, but you're not married now. And so you go, Sean, we were much further along than you were in our waiting. But some of you can relate to this. Some of you are at the place where maybe this is a waiting story that you can relate to, because it's personal. It's real. Like, these are, like, I wanted to be married. I didn't get married until I was 37. I was like, how many kids can we have at 37? Like, she's 34. Like, how is this going to, you know, function and operate? But we had kids right out of the gate, which is really good. We had two girls that we are the lights of our life. We love them so much, and we love our marriage. And I had so much ego destroyed in me, and so much, like, workaholism that God dealt with, and so much kind of inner formation stuff that had to happen in my 20s and early 30s. I think I would have run over a spouse because of my own ambitions and desires. And God, I can see now the character formation in my 20s, in my 30s, that led me to be someone who would choose being married and choose that as a primary focus. And I was in a place where I could go, man, God, your wisdom of 37 was a good time to get married. 38 on our 5-week honeymoon, I turned 38 because we got married April 20th in 2012. I remember just going, your ways, God, are not my ways. But at the same time, I love this life. I love being married. I love having a measure of inner working done, so there's not a war in myself or a war towards my wife. And there wasn't in her as well. And so we've had a really good marriage. Marriage is never easy, but it's a really good marriage. And I think that some of you can relate to, maybe you're in that from glory to glory, that two place where you're waiting and you're not realizing how much is being developed in you. If you're going after, if you're reading the word and going after life in Christ, you are developing, you are growing into areas and ways that you can't foresee until you have hindsight. You can't foresee until you enter into what is preparing you for. And I know it's hard, but even Jesus knows what it's like to wait. I mean, I was thinking about this earlier today when I was praying to this word. He's seated at the right hand of the Father right now. And even he is waiting for the Father to say, now is the time. Jesus understands our humanity in a way that we don't even comprehend. He's waiting for the moment of his own return. He's preparing us for him, and the Holy Spirit's doing that. But waiting is part of the human experience, but it's also part of the divine story of God. And while God's never late by his clock, we got to be honest, it often feels like he's late by ours, for sure. Like, I felt many times, are you even coming through? And then he does in miraculous ways. And there's a scripture I love, Isaiah 40, verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. And, you know, I promise that that's true. I remember one of the times I was the most weary in life, and I was just praying, going, God, can I even, like, all the battles I've been through, can I even get that zeal or the energy back to want to do the greater things that you put in my heart to do, and some of the projects and some of the relational things that I felt like God was calling me to do? I just feel so beat up. I feel so taken back, you know, from life. And I remember reading the scripture, and I was in a play, like a prayer room, and reading the scripture, and I just felt like, wow, this isn't going to happen by my strength, my zeal, my energy, what I want, my desire. Like, all my desires are lining up with his desires, but there's still me, it's Sean, the man, and there's also the flesh that we have to overcome. We have to constantly surrender, constantly repent, constantly give him our best effort and say, God, it's not according to my strength, but by your strength. It's not by my power, but by your power. And when we do that, when we learn how to really surrender that, we get a God result and a God interaction through the process of life that we wouldn't have had without it. We get stripped away of all kinds of things, and it's painful. It doesn't feel good. I mean, like, if you think of, like, God taking off something that everybody else gets who's not a Christian or not walking in obedience to the word, and God says, you can't do that, or you can't have the opportunity, you can't have that process that way because you're walking with me. And nobody loves to be under authority in a massive way, really. I mean, like, it's a human experience, especially in free countries, is where it's like, I don't want to do it that way. So sometimes God asks us to do something, and our first response is no. Or sometimes we're convicted of something, and our first response is, that's not bad because I see other people do it. And so God's doing such a stripping in our waiting. But also, some of the waiting is because he's preparing the other end. He's preparing all the things that he's promised. He's preparing the ground. I think of the children of Israel when they were going to the promised land, and how much did he have to prepare for them? And it was not just in their lifetime. It was generations before, where he had them inherit lands that had been developed and cities that had been built that they hadn't built. You know, and what if, you know, when we have a promise, I don't know, when we read that scripture, we feel like a human. We don't always feel like eagles when we're in the middle of a long wait. That's just reality. And sometimes we feel like pigeons in a windstorm. I mean, I feel that way. Sometimes I feel like I'm just being tossed around. But there's something holy about waiting, because it's in waiting that God rearranges our priorities. He purifies our motives, And sometimes he's preparing the thing we're waiting to be ready for us. Like I said before, I got to just say that if this podcast has ever been a voice of encouragement in your life, and if you say, man, I can relate to what Sean's saying, and it's been helping me on the journey, consider giving or donating to our ministry today. You can support what we're doing at donate.bowlsministries.com. And thank you to all those of you who already gave. This month is June Give Back. And so if you give any amount this month, we get to give back to you. We have a digital resource and a physical resource for those of you in North America, digital resource for those of you who are abroad. And we get to give back to you in a real way. So I want to encourage you to help the world hear from God. Donate to our ministry today, especially if this has been helping you. Okay, let's get real again. Waiting is not about inactivity. It's about, you know, it's not about twiddling your fingers and thumbs. Some of you have heard me talk about waiting before. Something magical is not going to happen if we just, you know, sit here passively and all of a sudden God drops the right person you're supposed to be married in front of you because you've been just, you know, praying in the prayer room, or, you know, you've just been studying the Bible itself. You have to be active in all areas. It's not just our spiritual pursuit of the Bible, but it's our life pursuit of physical health. It's our pursuit to better ourselves. It's our pursuit to have right relationships. It's our, all of those things. Waiting on God is super active, and it's leaning in. It's asking him, what are you doing in this space where I might feel stuck or where things are out of my control? And those areas where things are in his control only, you're doing everything you can with the things that are in your control, and you're going to wait like very graciously. And I've seen people wait really badly, like where people are like, well, God gave me a promise, he's going to do it. And yet they're still living in poverty, and it's a career promise. And that just doesn't work, especially in Hollywood. We had so many people in the entertainment industry who are like, God's calling me to be a producer, an actor, a screenwriter, but they've never written. They never took the classes. They never interned. They never worked in places that mattered in a way that could develop their skills and their talents. And I feel like some of you can relate to that. Some of you are like, man, I've seen people like that, or maybe you've gone through that. And the reality is that we don't bury our talents. Whatever the talents are, we give God the fullness of what's inside of us. And we say, I'm going to partner my faith. So if I have a promise to be before kings in some area of career, I'm going to be really faithful when I'm working at fast food, or when I'm working in whatever it is, starting a side hustle or starting an Etsy account, whatever it is, I'm going to do as good as I can in that area. And if it's a calling of like writing, you're going to write all the time, not just the epic book that you might write that can hit the masses. I mean, the reality is that most of the time there's an audience that's specifically for us to manifest our gifts and our calling for. And many of us miss that because we're so looking at we have an illusion or delusion of grandeur, that big thing that's going to happen one day. And we're not satisfied to be planted and be faithful in the area that we're at right now. Now, when I say most of us, I don't know that's most of us, but I know we go through seasons like that. And I remember a season when I was waiting really about huge direction. And honestly, I was spiraling a little bit. I was spiraling and looking, you know, to question everything. And I thought, did I miss God? And my family was dependent on it. You know, like, did I imagine what I thought I heard? Did I do enough? Am I not enough? Am I enough? You know, but God wasn't silent because I was off track. He was letting something deeper settle inside of me. He was dealing with a significance or identity issue. And he was teaching me to trust his timing more than I trusted my own need for progress. Now, let me say that again. You got to trust God's timing more than you trust your own need for progress. And a lot of us, that's a hard one, especially if you live in a country or around a people group or around family that wants you to proceed. How many of you had the mom who, or the grandmother who said, when are you going to get married? Or, you know, like, are you ever going to buy a house? Or are you ever going to settle down? Are you ever going to get into a good career? Are you ever going to go back to school? Are you ever going to, there's all those pressures around us. Plus there's the keeping up the Joneses in our cultures where it's like, well, I can't afford to do that. I can't do that. And so we feel less significant because maybe on the journey we're at, it's not about finances. It's not about accomplishments. It's not about the grand whatever, you know, but it's about really serving in our identity to love Jesus and love his people. And so in that, we've sacrificed some things. And it's hard then to trust God when there's not the progress that our friends and family that we're measuring ourselves have. And so we got to trust his timing. We got to trust his process more than our own need for progress. And if you're in the same kind of season, I want to tell you, you're not forgotten. You're not disqualified. You're not behind. You're just in the two, from glory to glory, the in-between. God's there standing with you, just like he was standing in the fire with the young men in Daniel. It's a fire. And some of you are looking at going, it's getting hot in here. And if you're in this space and you're hungry to grow while you wait, you can actually hear God more clearly and confidently. Again, for a sponsorship for this video, I'm going to invite you to Spiritual Growth Mentoring Community, which is our online mentoring community where we learn how to hear from God together. We practice all the time. We have 4-week classes every month. We do so much stuff with activation groups. I teach once a month mentoring. You guys are going to love this. I have a mastermind class. Right now, we have Carl Wesley Anderson doing a class on discernment, wisdom, and knowledge, and how to apply those gifts to your everyday life. And he's a biblical historian. He's taking you through scripture, but he also has a lot of, he's a producer, and he's in a lot of media about this, especially in history. And it's going to be a way that sharpens your discernment and really unlocks your direction. It's going to help you in the waiting period. And so it's so powerful. I hope you guys will visit it at bowlsministries.com, and you can get signed up today. And there's still three classes for this month that you can go to, which will be so awesome. You haven't missed anything. You can watch all of them at your own pace, or you'll be there live. So don't let your waiting, you know, go by without tools and resources in your life. Also, don't let your waiting define you. Your waiting isn't who you are. I've watched people who are waiting for some measure of healing. Like where I've had a friend who was almost disabled. She was very, very in her body from a situation she had in her body. She couldn't move around a lot. So she was homebound. And for a while, I remember she went through kind of a very self-focus of just the healing journey that she was on with doctors and surgeries and these kinds of things. And then she realized that people were backing away from her because she was constantly talking about her medical needs and what she was going through. And she was a single woman and she just felt very needy in herself. And she told us one day, we went over and she goes, you know what? I've let the sickness define me and I've let the waiting on God define me. And you know what? I'm going to live my life, even if I only have a few great hours a day. And she was really suffering, a few great hours a day. I'm going to study the Bible. I'm going to fill myself up with God. I have a business I want to start, which is with writing and editing. I'm going to do that and see what happens in those few hours and what God will do. And then the rest of the time, I'll do what I've done now, but without complaining, I'm going to do it differently. And so she didn't let the waiting define her anymore. And man, she became such a whole person in the midst of a struggle I've never seen anyone go through before. And by the time they actually found a surgery for her, it was many years, I think it was over 15 years later, and now she doesn't have the physical debilitating injury or like issue in her body, and she's able to do all kinds of things. But like she lived gracefully because she didn't let this define her identity, and she let God refine her in it. And because of that, her message now and her depth now is so deep, that sometimes people don't know what she's walked through, but they just want to listen to her because she has so much to say. And she's so kind and she's so merciful to people who are suffering. And you may not be where you want to be, but you're where you are. And that's just, I mean, something beautiful can happen right here when we keep showing up in faith and when it feels like nothing's moving, but we're still there. And we say, God, here I am. Waiting is an act of war against discouragement. I don't know if you know that. Waiting is an act of war to fight discouragement. And it's prophetic in itself because when you wait well, you're declaring, God, I trust you more than I trust the clock. And I trust you more than I trust anybody else. I'm going to pray for you. God, help us to wait. Help us to wait with you. God, those who are weary and waiting, renew their strength. Give us hope. Lord, give us a deeper awareness that you are right here in the process. God, I pray that we would mount up like wings of eagles. Even if we don't feel like an eagle, we feel grounded. We feel like we can't run. But Lord, help us to run and not grow weary. Help us to walk and not faint. If we feel like we've fainted, pick us up, God. Let us be in this a season of waiting that's one of intimacy with you, growth, unexpected beauty, God. We just pray for that in Jesus' name. I know some of you guys are walking through this, and make sure you use our hashtag MyTurn, and we'll be praying for you. Tell us what we'll be praying. What are you waiting for? Let's pray for you right now on YouTube and on Facebook. And also, I want to thank you for being here today on Exploring the Prophetic. If this blessed you at all, share it with a friend who's in a long season of the not yet. And subscribe and join the mentoring community at bowlsministries.com. And if you can, go ahead and donate to Bowls Ministries by going to donate.bowlsministries.com so we can keep going strong and reach hundreds of thousands of people a month with these kinds of messages. You're not alone in your wait. You're right here on your next way to glory, from one glory to another glory, and you're going to make it. And we'll see you next time. And hopefully we'll have a testimony from you.
Thank you for listening to Exploring the Prophetic. If you want to learn more about hearing God's voice, come over to my website, www.shawnbowlz.com. That's S-H-A-W-N-B-O-L-Z. I have many resources for you there, like some on hearing God, like my best-selling book, Translating God. I have prayer books on breakthrough and provision to help you to have more language to talk to God. And we even have a devotional on this series called Exploring the Prophetic. I also want to invite you to spiritually grow by joining our online thriving mentoring community, where we have 12 four-week live classes a year on subjects that will shape your relationship with God. Themes like hearing God's voice, dream interpretation, deliverance, and so many other spiritual themes from expert teachers. And I personally get to train you in my Prophetic Monthly Mastermind live group if you join. Plus, when you join, we have an amazing online community with a spiritual growth pastor who will lead you in weekly groups to practice what you're learning. Go to bowlsministries.com or shawnbowlz.com and click on Mentoring Community. See you next time on Exploring the Prophetic.